It's time for the Bob Cerace Show, broadcasting live from the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Here's the voice of Princeton football, Cody Kruschel.
Welcome to the Bob Cerace Show. We're back here as we are every Thursday night at the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton. The Tigers 4-0 here in 2018, coming off a 66-7 win against Lehigh this past Saturday, finishing the game with 59 unanswered points. And coach, let's go back through that one. 733 yards of total offense, the most in program history. Anytime you're doing something that's never been done in the history of Princeton football, that's a pretty good day.
Yeah, when they go back and they talk about like 88, I'm thinking when I played, and they start bringing up 1888, which is really nice. But you know, the players will tell you, we come in on Sunday and you know, we had holding penalties, turnovers, you know, fourth and whatever, 20 for a touchdown. And, you know, we look at the process and our growth and, you know, we look at the things we have to get better at. And there are plenty of those. And they know we weren't happy. I wasn't happy because we in many cases, it was our effort that produced that score, not all the things that we were doing from our execution standpoint.
For Princeton, the most points in a game since 1934 when they dropped 75 on Amherst College, 11 different players catching passes, 3 different quarterbacks completing passes, 5 different players with rushes of at least 19 yards. Princeton now 4-0, up to number 21 in this week's FCS Coaches Poll. And coach, you guys, the number one scoring offense in the nation, the number two scoring defense, 33 points in 4 games. This is a defense that still hasn't allowed a second-half point, and you get the feeling that even when you have your second and third stringers out there, the first teamers are still very much invested in that.
Yeah, no, we've committed to playing our depth, and we've talked about that. It's very important that we do that, and we practice. It's not like we just practice one group. It's not just the starters are the only guys out there. We are working hard with everybody to see them develop and grow and reach their abilities, and when those guys go in, our expectations don't change, our standards don't change, and you know, some of those guys are young guys that have very bright futures, and when they get opportunity and they take advantage of it, they start to play more. When we are going to have a close game, you know, this week against Brown, you'll see some of those guys playing.
Want to talk about that close game, because you look at the final score against Lehigh and you'd think, okay, it's a blowout, it's end to end, but you guys jump out to that 7-0 lead, turn the football over, Lehigh comes back, they tie it, and then they force a 3-and-out. So a little bit of adversity for your team in that first quarter.
Yeah, you're not, you know, the other teams have good players. You know, I look ahead to the next opponent, and, you know, starting on Sunday, and Brown has tremendous players on their defense. So, you know, we have to execute. You have to play. Like, even, you know, even when you do that and you play hard, other teams have good players, they're going to stop you. But the things I didn't like against Lehigh were the penalties we had, the turnovers we had, they were our own error. You know, we work on ball security all the time. And for us not to lock our elbow, and, you know, those things have to get corrected, because, you know, you end up losing games because of that. And we did last year.
Defensively, kind of from the broadcast booth, one thing that I was going in looking at for this is, you know, you've talked about all the receivers you've faced this year, Reggie White Jr. and Pace Temple and, you know, Ronald Smith with Columbia. This was maybe the best running back in the country in Dom Bragg alone, and you look at what you were able to do, and I thought, okay, that's important going forward, because if you look at the really strong teams in the Ivy League, Dartmouth rushes for almost 400 yards this past Friday, Harvard and Penn, Aaron Champlin and Carrick and Brooks, they're over 200 yards a game as a team. And then we know about Yale with Zane Dudek. It seems like if you're going to make a run in the Ivy League and compete for a title, and I guess it applies across the board, you really need to be strong against the run.
Just so you know, I wasn't listening, because I could care less about those other teams. Like, we have to beat Brown, and I could care less. We tried to stop Bragg alone because we had to beat Lehigh. And if we're going to be good, we're not going to listen. We're not going to take your cheese. I love you, but I'm not going to take your cheese, because there's the mousetrap. And I've talked to our guys about nothing but Brown. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's outcome people and there's process people. And I grew up, I had a younger brother, I was 2 years old, named Mickey Charles Cerace, named after the great Mickey Charles Mantle. He died. I became a Yankees fan. I am a diehard Yankees fan. With the New York Yankees, I am an outcome guy. Did they win or did they lose? And when they lose, I'm not happy. When they win, I celebrate. as a coach, I could care less. I am a process guy, and when I see a team that commits penalties and turnovers, it's not a good game. And everybody, oh, you scored 66 points, and the players know it. When they come in on Sunday, that was not a good performance. It was a great outcome. Great. We celebrate. We love it. But if we continue to do those things, we are going to be in trouble. And when I don't look at, you know, Browns played some tremendous football. They've had some moments where they burn the film. That's football. There's going to be times this year we're going to want to burn the film. And hopefully if we are a process team, we limit those to a minimum.
Princeton nothing but Ivy League games the rest of the way as we head into week five. It'll be Princeton back at home for the second straight week taking on Brown. That'll be this Saturday at 1 o'clock. Coach, you talked about the process, and we talked about this a little bit the first or second show about the non-conference slate and how you sort of construct that. 3-0 in non-conference play, and I know you've said it, you know, it's great to get those wins, but you haven't really accomplished anything. As far as how you try to construct your non-conference schedule and playing teams from different conferences, have you gotten out of that what you wanted to getting into Ivy League play?
Yeah, I think, you know, you always find out at the end of the year, but when you go into the year and there's a Butler team that beat Youngstown State and that is going to be right in the thick of things to win their conference and go to the playoffs. There's a Monmouth team that went to the playoffs and returned their team that's going to be in the thick of the things to win the Big South. And then you got a Lehigh team that's in the thick of things in the Patriot year in, year out. That's what you want to see our guys play. And at the end of the day, the outcomes were outstanding, but you utilize the process and the growth to move forward. You know, we got one at a time Ivy League games. And at the end of the day, if you handle those three games, and we get two before Columbia, which, you know, allows you to prepare for a team that went 8-2 last year that way. So when you handle those games successfully and you make error and you teach off that error, it does help you. You know, I think it helps prepare you for the league schedule.
We're here at the Alchemist and Barrister, proud to host the Bob Saray Show every Thursday night. Join us here each week for the latest on Princeton football and enjoy drink and food specials all night. Check out their menus at the A&B.com. We'll go deeper into your matchup this Saturday against Brown in the final segment. You've talked about it earlier this week. This is a team, don't really look at the record. This is a really tough team to get ready for.
Yeah, I see you, we sat next to each other today in an athletic staff meeting and get a chance to talk a little bit. And they have completely changed their offense. And I watch that offense and my eyes light up because we like to be creative, but we like to do things that are sound. And I'm watching an offense that is extremely creative, but they're extremely sound. And I'm like jotting down notes. I'm running up to our offense and see what they did here. See what they did. This is a really cool thing we might want to put in. And when you see offenses that are that well designed and they got a quarterback who has the it factor, those type things, you know that if you don't have your responsibilities, discipline, and toughness, you're going to get run out off the field.
Two of your seniors will join us next, Graham Adamitis and Cody Smith. You refer to them as two of the glue guys.
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys get a lot of credit that touch the ball all the time, and I greatly enjoy the play we've had from our quarterback and the leadership and the play we've had from our receivers and running backs. But the guys who make us tick are these guys tonight. They make us tick. They do all the dirty things. They do all the little things. You know, we've tried to dial up some things where we thought we could get them the ball in space. They haven't always happened, whether it was a protection error or some other thing, you know, that didn't work out by design. But these guys make us tick. Like, these are the guys that when you see, you know, the engine's running, the bus is going, those are the guys that are doing all the work to get the bus going.
We'll talk to Graham Adamitis, senior tight end, and Cody Smith, senior fullback, when we get back. This is the Bob Saray Show from the Alchemist and Barrister on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
You're listening to the Bob Saray Show with Princeton football head coach Bob Saray. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back here for our second segment, the Week 5 edition of the Bob Saray Show here at the Alchemist and Barrister. Princeton, nothing but Ivy League games the rest of the season, starting this Saturday, 1 o'clock at home against Brown. Joined by two of the seniors on offense, Graham Adamitis, a senior tight end, Cody Smith, the senior fullback. Guys, thanks for battling some of that rain to get over here.
No problem. Glad to be here.
I know you guys with the rain, a little bit of a different type of practice here today.
Yeah, we had to adjust a little bit, just kind of work with what we got, move the practice inside a little bit. Still felt sharp, still got everything we needed to do. So.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about you guys, and then we'll get into the matchup this weekend. Graham, you're a senior tight end, honorable mention, all Ivy last year. Princeton off to a 4-0 start this year. Let's kind of go through your first catch of the year this past Saturday. You hauled in 20 last year, always a good pass catcher. We've known that. Coach Arace has talked a lot about your development in the blocking game. What's been the process, and how much of an emphasis have you placed on developing that side of your game?
So I, especially this offseason, really wanted to focus on just kind of building my body, getting a lot stronger, just more kind of firm all around. I knew last year, I had a solid role in the blocking game. I wanted to build up my strength so I could kind of just be a more dominant blocker this season, knowing that my role in this offense is very balanced, and I do take pride in being a great run blocker as well. So I'm glad I had a productive offseason, great offseason with the strength staff, with our team, good productive summer as well. I felt like I was able to kind of tighten up my footwork, just have a stronger, body core all around. So that had definitely been, helpful in my improvement in the run blocking game.
Is part of the emphasis on that, I mean, does your role shift more from a pass catcher to a blocker when you have a guy like John Lovett at quarterback as opposed to a guy like Chad Knuff?
John's a different type of player. It's awesome playing with him. We still pretty much have the same basic principles of the offense. John's able to make a little more improvisation, a little more plays with his feet. So I don't think my mindset changes at all. I just do what they ask me to do, and I do it full go. And I know that, John's going to be making the right decisions with the ball. So I know he'll find me, but I love blocking for him as well.
Cody, you think about the fullback, you think of that Mike Allstott guy, take the ball, run it up the middle, Mike Allstott, Lorenzo Neal. From your standpoint, a little bit more of an active position in an offense like Princeton's.
Yeah, I'm really really lucky that at a school like this, we'd like to use our fullback a lot. We don't like to be one-dimensional in anything that we do. So being able to split out wide or to line up in the wing or line up in the backfield, run block, catch some passes, you got to be able to kind of do a little bit of everything, because we don't want to get locked into other teams seeing exactly what we're going to do. So really lucky to be at a school like this with a football team like this that will let me do that kind of thing.
Graham, you're from Ross Township, Pennsylvania. I didn't know until this weekend when I was heading out for a wedding there's two Ross Townships in Pennsylvania. There's one in the Poconos.
Okay.
And then you're from out by Pittsburgh.
Exactly, yeah. I might have to visit the other Ross Township, though. I was unaware of that as well.
Check it off the bucket list.
Yeah.
Central Catholic in Pittsburgh, you guys went to a state final your junior year. That's a pretty strong program out there in western Pennsylvania.
It is. I'm really thankful I was able to play for a program like that, go to a great school like that as well. It's pretty well known for its football prowess, but it really, I think, helped me just develop as an all-around young man as well. It's really got a lot of great tradition, a lot of some big names coming out of there every once in a while. So, I still stay really connected. Anytime I'm home, go back and visit. I'm proud alum.
I know it was a few years back, but sort of walk us through the recruiting process and how you ended up from out by Pittsburgh coming here to Princeton.
Yeah, so I actually, in high school, I played a bunch of different positions, quarterback, tight end, linebacker. So I had bunch of different schools kind of looking at me at different spots, and Princeton was one of the first schools that approached me as a tight end. And it's funny because I actually came out here one time when it was pouring down rain. It was my first visit,
kind of like today.
Exactly, very similar day, pouring down rain. It was a junior day. A lot of people were kind of bummed about the weather, but I came home and I was like, I love this place, I gotta come back, because I wasn't with my family at the time. I went with another teammate, and I was able to bring my family back out during the summer. Fell in love with the place, and really happy I ended up here.
So you played some quarterback in high school. There's a lot of guys on this team that were high school quarterbacks. We've talked a lot about Mike Wagner, and now he's developed into the pass rusher. You guys have a little fraternity of guys who were quarterbacks in a past life?
It's funny. We always mess around. We talk about it because there are actually a crazy amount. It's got to be in the double digits of ex-quarterbacks that are now starting at other positions that people would be very surprised to hear. So we always kind of mess around, like, who's the best non-college quarterback? Who's the best quarterback on the roster right now that isn't, wearing the red jersey in practice? But, we still play around, sling the ball around a little bit. Talk about the old glory days at quarterback. So.
Who is the best non-quarterback on the roster? If you're picking one for flag football,
The only one that I've probably thrown around with at practice is probably Graham. He does have a cannon on him, so I'm gonna have to go with what I know.
Confirmed.
My man, I appreciate that.
Graham, your brother Cal, long snapper at Pitt. Not normally the position kids are lining up to play growing up. How do you become a long snapper? How did that process go for him?
Yeah, so I want to say it was like he must have been 11 or 12 years old when they first actually started using like an actual long snapper in the youth football league, and he stuck with it. It was like, hey, this is a good way to get on the field. Going into high school, he played a lot of other positions too. He was a starting tight end, starting linebacker, similar role as myself after I left, and he kept up with long snapping and kind of, started to look into it, realized, hey, this is a great way to get to the next level, to, use this ability to, do what he loves to do. So I think I'm really happy for him. He's doing great there at Pitt. So it's a really great situation he's got.
How do your parents decide where they're going on Saturday?
This season they've given me a little more of the priority because I'm 2 years older, may not have as many college games left as him, but it works out where, his season starts 2 weeks before ours, so they'll catch those games and then back and forth with whatever game is more convenient. I think parents might be at his game this weekend. They're playing over at Notre Dame, so that's a pretty sweet matchup going there. But I know my parents enjoy the fall. They get to do a lot of cool trips. They love getting to watch both of us play.
Here with a couple of seniors from this high-scoring Princeton offense, tight end Graham Adamitis and fullback Cody Smith. Graham, let's go back to your freshman year. What were you able to take away from practicing behind a guy like Seth DeVal?
So Seth was just a guy that did, for lack of a better term, he just kind of did everything right. He was a great leader on and off the field. In the weight room, he was a guy that everyone kind of flocked to because he was, one of the strongest guys on the team doing, throwing up big weight. When it came to the classroom, he was staying sharp. He was, he was a very smart guy on and off the field. So, as a freshman, I really looked up to a guy like that. I was, maybe someday I can, mold myself into a person like that. And so I really appreciated him kind of, as a freshman coming in, mentoring me a bit. Giving me help when I needed it, but I kind of just got to watch and learn, and really am glad I got that opportunity to play behind him.
You're part of the Woodrow Wilson School, and your position coach was telling us that you had a pretty interesting summer gig.
Yeah, so that's one thing I'm really glad I've been able to do my 3 summers here at Princeton is spend the summer here. It helps just in preparation for the season. So this summer, I found an international coffee company that has an office here on Nassau Street called Cafe Vittoria. They're going to be opening up a shop here, actually, in the next couple months on Nassau Street. So I'm going to have to, everyone got to go check out their coffee. It's a good place. I really love the guys I work for it. They allowed me to stay on campus and work out with my team. So it was a really fun, productive summer.
Here with Graham Adamitis and Cody Smith, the Week 5 edition of the Bob Cerace Show. Let's take our second break. When we get back, we'll keep the conversation going, talk to Cody a little bit, and get their take on this Brown team that they'll play this Saturday at 1 o'clock. Back after this, this is the Bob Cerace Show on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Cerace Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Cerace, on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Bob Cerace Show every Thursday night. Join us every week for the latest on the Princeton football team and enjoy drink and food specials all night. Check out the menus at theanb.com. Back for segment number 2 with Graham Adamitis and Cody Smith, 2 seniors on the top scoring offense in the nation at the FCS level. Guys are probably happy you ordered your food before the guys to our right came in.
Yeah.
Got to give a quick shout-out to the offensive line coming out to support. 6 strong mentality all year.
Absolutely. I'm sure they're happy with the meal, too. So yeah. They're here for the deals.
So one of those, I guess I can ask you guys about that. So coming in, you guys graduate a couple of multiple-time All-Ivy League offensive linemen, Mitchell Swigert, Eric Ramirez, Richard Bush, who was the starting center last year. Offensive line, especially in an offense like this, not an easy position to be in.
Yeah, not at all. And I think that was a bigger issue from the outside looking in than it was on the inside, because obviously they see that we graduate Mitchell Swagger, who's an All-American, and a couple other great starters. We're all Ivy guys. But when we're in the weight room or we're on the field every day, we get to see, you know, who's the next guys up. And we get to see them work all offseason. So it was kind of just like the next man up. But, you know, let's get going.
Here with Graham Adamidis and Cody Smith. Cody, 24 career catches, one career carry back in your freshman year. I'm sure you remember it fondly.
I do. I still tell the story that I average 5 yards per carry. Just don't ask me how many carries.
Yeah, you can attack on an extra yard to that every year.
Every year,
you're telling the grandkids.
Absolutely.
Going back to your recruiting, Bishop Shanahan in Pennsylvania, as a junior, the most wins in program history, and then your senior season, the second round of district playoffs, kind of part of building up what's turned into a pretty good program.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was a senior there, it was only like the 15th year that Bishop Shanahan has ever had football. So we were building a great tradition there. We had a great head coach, Coach Myers, a fantastic staff. And it was just a bunch of guys, especially in my grade, that just really loved the game. Loved playing with each other, just had a great time, and just happy with the legacy that we're left there and the program that's starting to become out there.
Some success in high school, and then you come in here part of the Princeton championship team, the Ivy League championship team in 2016. This team's off to a good start. This is a senior-laden team. Do you see some similarities between that group of guys and this group of guys, or has it just been a gradual process?
Yeah, of course. There's always, you can draw some similarities. It's when you have a season like that, you have a lot of hardworking guys that are all bought in. And I think that's what we got here. We're just trying to take it game by game and focus every week. But we got a lot of hardworking guys. Everyone's bought into the system. We mentioned Graham just had his first catch the other week. But, you know, he's been out here every week working on his blocking, working on his route running, just trying to get better every week because, you know, the end game is, it's not about our catches, not about the carries we may or may not have had. It's about how many wins we put up at the end of the season.
What's it like playing with a quarterback like John Lovett? I mean, there's times where the defense bites on the fakes. Are there times where you see him do something and you didn't even know he was going to do that?
Oh, all the time. John's just so great at improvising that I might be blocking for a pass play and all of a sudden he's running to the right for 20 yards. I mean, he's just an incredible athlete, and he's fun to watch out there. I mean, it's really fun to play with him. He works. He's one of the hardest working guys in the entire team. And he's such a great leader, but he can do some amazing things with his legs that'll just keep you on your toes.
Been noticing this on the roster. You're listed as from Lincoln University, Pennsylvania. What's it like in Lincoln University, Pennsylvania? You normally don't see university tacked onto a hometown.
No, it's a weird situation we have out there where we're technically in a college town, but it's such a small university that you probably wouldn't even see it if you drove by. There's only a couple signs for it. But, you know, we associate more with the Avengrove School District area. It's not really, a town, but that's kind of where we call home. So,
you're a history major, and I know your plans potentially involve sticking around football.
Yeah, if I just love the staff here, I love the culture here, and I just love being around this team. And if they'll take me back, I'd probably be happy to come back as a coach.
I mean, is that something you've always wanted to do? Did you know pretty early on that you wanted to get into coaching whenever your playing career was done?
Yeah, I never knew, obviously as a little kid, when my playing career would come to an end. So it was always just, you go to the next level. Like, I wanted to play varsity in high school, and then I wanted to, you know, play at the college level. And now you never know when it's going to end, but I never want my football, being involved with football, to end. So whatever happens after the next year or two, we'll almost certainly be back here in the orange and black again.
Your opponent this weekend, Brown, they've had some lopsided losses, and then they've also had a 35-7 win, and this is a team that your coaches said all week it's kind of tough to prepare for because they throw so many different looks at you. Graham, looking at them from an offensive standpoint, what's the challenge Brown presents defensively?
So, yeah, they really, like you mentioned, they really do kind of throw a lot of different looks at you that you got to be prepared for. We know that they're a tough, like, downhill defensive team. So no matter what their record is, or you know how they've been doing in the previous weeks of the season. They're tough, and they always, you know, come out and play us hard. And so that's what I think I'm really looking forward to in this Ivy League stretch down the road. Is every game's going to be grinded out game, and that's what this group's been preparing for the past year. This is the stretch where we can really just kind of cement our legacy and what we've been trying to for the past year.
Only 10 games on the schedule if you're an Ivy League team. No postseason, so it's not like certain other places where you can go 6-5, 5-5, and potentially go to a bowl game or a playoff. 3-0 in the non-league slate, but you guys, especially now as seniors, is there a little bit more once you're into Ivy League play? Do those games feel a little bit different? I know you're going to say you're going to prepare for the next opponent, but Ivy League games, do they mean a little bit more to you guys?
I would say, I mean, obviously, as you said, we prepare for every opponent the same. But I think especially as seniors now, there is a little bit more weight on these games because the Ivy League as a whole is so talented now that if you lose one Ivy League game, you could be out of the running because someone's probably going to sweep the table. So it's almost like a playoff game every week for us because we don't go to the playoffs, winning the Ivy League championship, like that's our Super Bowl. That's what we, strive to do every day in the off season. So every week is like a playoff game for us.
Haven't really brought it up this year, but I guess you guys are a good group to do it with because you're a couple of seniors. Looking at the meeting rooms and the locker room, looking at what it looks like now and what it's like to walk in there now versus what it was when you guys came in as freshmen, it's got to be kind of nice to go to work and walk into that facility every day.
Absolutely. It's definitely made a big improvement and come up since our freshman year. And we're really – I know this class of seniors, we're really thankful for, the hard work and effort that's been put into really developing – the facilities and just the kind of the treatment of the players here. It's really become a great just atmosphere. It was at the beginning, but even now it's just like, wow, some of these things they talked about when you're young, they're being done, and it's great to see, and we're really thankful. It gives us that little maybe a little extra push every time, coming into practice or a lift, like, hey, like this is sweet, like look at this cool stuff we got going on around us, like we want to keep this going. So show the people that help make that happen, that we are thankful and we mean business. So,
yeah, that was, I know for me, I remember seeing the looks on all the guys' faces when we walked in that brand new locker room for the first time. We got all the decals up and the, odes to like the old players that have come through before us. And it's amazing to see after like 3 years in the older locker room, now we have a new locker room, new lockers, brand new meeting rooms, and I mean, it's incredible, and everybody on the team, especially the older groups that know what we used to have, are just so thankful for this opportunity to have like all these fantastic spaces.
Gentlemen, good spending some time with you, and good luck this Saturday against Brown.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Go Tigers.
Graham Adamitis, Cody Smith, two seniors for the number one scoring offense in the nation. When we get back, we'll talk to Princeton's tight end coach Mike Willis. Back after this on the Bob Saray Show here on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
You're listening to the Bob Saray Show, live from the Alchemist and Barrister, with Princeton football head coach Bob Saray and Cody Cruchel on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Fourth segment here at the Alchemist and Barrister, the Week 5 edition of the Bob Saray Show. Princeton starting off the season with a 4-0 mark, 3-0 in non-conference play, but starting this week, nothing but Ivy League competition the rest of the way. Joined now by assistant head coach and tight ends coach Mike Willis. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Cody.
So you talked about it. You kind of graduated from here and then never really left. 2003 graduate and then rejoined the coaching staff in 2016, so didn't take you quite as long as it did some other guys to get back here to Princeton.
No, so I graduated from here in 2014, had an unbelievable experience playing for Bob, and then like a lot of guys from here, I thought I wanted to go into what I would call a more traditional Princeton profession, so I went and worked at a sports law firm called Proskauer Rose in New York City, and kind of immediately upon plunking down in the chair, I realized that I really missed football, which I think is a normal impulse for anyone who stops playing, but by like month 4 or 5, I started asking my roommates who had played college football with me. I was like, hey, do you guys still relentlessly check the Ivy League message boards and find yourself drawing up plays? And they were like, no, honestly, we're okay. We're good with a game or two. And that's when I realized they needed to get back in. I was in conference with Coach Race about different programs and just trying to find a job anywhere in football. And then at like the 13th hour, an off-the-field coaching intern role opened up in the summer of 2015. And I came back after 1 year abroad working in the law and never really left. And I've never let them kick me out, so I'm fortunate to be here.
Freshman year 2010, that was Bob Sarace's first year. And then you're recruited by one coaching staff, playing for another coaching staff. Sort of what was that process like?
So it was actually interesting because I was being recruited by the original staff, but I had not yet committed, and I was focusing my energy in the Ivy League. And right before I was getting excited to commit to Princeton, the old staff departed, and then Coach Trace came in, and I became one of the first recruits he really got to know. So he actually did, while we didn't know each other for 6 months or a year like a recruit would now, he did a home visit, he got to know my family, we developed a great comfort level, and that was the reason I was so inspired to come to Princeton, because I just really believed in him and my family really believed in him. He stood out to me as a high character guy. It's impossible to visit this campus aside from that and not be excited about going here. And I like the guys on the team. So I had an express recruitment with Coach Race that I really liked. And then, but still there are growing pains when you're doing a full rebuild, which Coach Race certainly had to do. And to be a part of that at the beginning, in the moment, it's not usually comfortable, but we had a great lecture we went to last night where the speaker talked about how growth a lot of times isn't linear. It's like a volcano exploding. And that was probably like a two-year volcano explosion where it was a little bit rough and tough at times, and we certainly didn't have a lot of on-field success in terms of wins, but the culture you were building ended up being the bedrock of what is still here all these years later, going into the first decade under Coach Race.
Obviously not a ton of fun going out there and going 1-9 your first two seasons, but by your senior season, an Ivy League championship team, and going back to those first two seasons, I know you weren't winning games, but could you see, okay, this is, the foundation's here, the pieces are here, this isn't going to keep up for too long?
Yeah, I think you really felt the culture developing. The second 1-9, as funny as it is to say now, really did feel different. We were in closer games. We were playing harder. We were obviously frustrated with the lack of results. But we continued to face extraordinary adversity off the field. Our best player from the second 1-9, Chuck DeBilio, who was probably the best freshman running back in Ivy League history, had a stroke, and while he recovered fully from that stroke and is now a Princeton grad and doing a CrossFit athlete and doing unbelievable things, he was never cleared to return to contact sports. The next year, in 2012, we had a starting DB, Kamal Brown, one of my good friends, suffer a non-football-related brain aneurysm, a genetic thing that had he not been at football practice, he actually would have died. But our doctors correctly identified what was happening. So there were still, even within that culture change, these extraordinary peaks and valleys that made you wonder, whether fate was on your side. But we kept fighting through. We had a couple breakthrough wins, notably the 2012 Harvard comeback. We were down 29 with, I think, 11 and a half minutes left, or 24. And being a part of those things inspired you. The summer participation inspired you with the amount of guys who would stick around to try to improve. And we had a great quiet confidence when we were picked sixth going into my senior year that we had the pieces. We finally had the pieces. We had the culture, and we're ready to implement it on the field. And certainly the offensive and defensive success we had that year, I think, was a reflection of everyone who came before that team putting in the work to make the culture better.
Your quarterback on that senior year team, Quinn Epperly, the quarterback of this team now, John Lovett. Do you see some similarities between those two? I know John kind of chasing most of Quinn's records this year.
Yeah, there's extraordinary similarities between the two of them. Their play is certainly very similar. I think John is even more prone than Quinn, and I wouldn't have thought I'd say this because Quinn was a great athlete. John is such an extraordinary athlete. He's more prone to these like sublime, you can't coach playmaking moments where you're watching it happen. It's definitely not how you drew it up, but it's a 35-yard gain or a touchdown, and you're thrilled with the result, and you trust him to make a great play. And he does it as best he can within the confines of the offense. They're both extraordinary straight-ahead runners who can't be stopped a lot of times by conventional defense, which makes it our jobs a lot easier as a coaching staff. What's the biggest difference is Quinn carried himself, and they're both true to themselves. Quinn carried himself with a quiet, humble confidence where he was truly a lead-by-example guy, and the amount of adversity he played through in terms of injury was really inspiring to you as a player. John is both leads by example, but also is a very strong vocal leader. So I think they're two of the best leaders I've ever been around as a person. And John has really taken it to the next level this year in the way he brings the whole team with him, both in the quality of his play, how hard he works during the week, and is vocal leadership when it's necessary too. And that's really fun to be around. It's fun to be around guys like John and Quinn.
We just talked to Graham Adamidis, one of your tight ends. He's a senior. He was an honorable mention All-Ivy guy last year, and this year the numbers haven't been there. Only one catch so far this year, and it came this past weekend. But a guy that can really make a difference in areas that don't necessarily show up in the box score.
Yeah, what's so great about coaching a guy like Graham is he is a very, very, very talented receiver, and he's also worked hard to become a good receiver. If you were to go through our practice reel from a game week or this summer, there are many times where he is in a great position to make a play, and he's in what a fan would call, he's open. He gets himself open a lot when he's asked to. But when you play with guys like his friends, Jesper and Steven, our outside receivers, you have a stable of great running backs. You have a quarterback who might take off on a drop back play and make something happen. Sometimes the ball doesn't make it his way, particularly in the early part of the season, but he's been targeted when it's been appropriate in the game plan. He had quite a few targets last year. We just, excuse me, got to continue to make some plays. And what's fun about coaching a guy like him is he plays, he will do to the best of his ability, and I think as well as anybody can in the league, he will do whatever is asked. He's an exceptional pass blocker for a tight end, which is a skill most or many are not good at, and he's about as good as an offensive lineman. The offensive line has jokingly started saying six strong instead of five strong because of how well he plays as a blocker. And one of my favorite plays from this season signifying his evolution as a run blocker was we had a touchdown schemed up for him in an early game where he was wide open. And I could tell how excited he was even in his body language. And we took a sack. And a lot of guys, I think, would have pouted, would have then used that as a springboard to complain about their catches. Instead, he lined back up. He mashed their defensive end for about 5 yards down the field. And the run went right off tackle behind him for what I would call a flag football touchdown or a two-end touchdown. Nothing. No matter what kind of football was being played, his block allowed that to be a free score. And that's a credit to him. His development as a blocker and receiver is a credit to him, and it's just fun to coach a guy who will do anything that's required, from pass blocking to run blocking to catching touchdowns.
We've seen a lot of Graham Adamidis. We've seen our fair share of Sam Johnson out there in two tight end sets the past couple of years. A lot of talk about this recruiting class, and I know that's got to be pretty exciting for you with the guys that you brought in this year at that tight end position.
So what's fun about those guys is for the first time ever at the tight end group, we had a group of freshmen come in, and this isn't about their accolades, this is about their work ethic. They came in and smoked their camp conditioning test. So if we're being very honest with each other, there's pretty high failure rate with incoming freshmen, or higher than normal failure rate on the camp conditioning test. And they showed up in extraordinary shape. They clearly had been studying their playbook, which they had access to in the summertime. And while they're still having their peaks and valleys, most of them have only appeared on special teams or at the end of games thus far. It's fun to coach guys who are hungry to play, who are taking notes like a starter or a contributor like Sam in the meeting, who are pushing those guys during the practice week and embracing all the rules, starting to appear on special teams, which I always tell guys is the first path to the field. That's where Graham got his start as well on special teams. And they're fun to be around, not just because they're talented, because I think the whole group is talented, including the freshmen, but because they're very, very hungry, and they, I think, understand what's required of them from even before they set foot on campus. When you have guys who are hungry, no matter what their talent level, it's fun to coach. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't excited about the potential of the group, from Graham to Sam down to the freshman.
We've had a couple of your counterparts, a couple of the other Princeton assistants on, and we've talked to Stephen Thomas and Marvin Klesiter about kind of their journey, and they've gone, you know, to Buffalo and down south, and they've kind of bounced all over. You're from Rutherford High School. You went to Princeton, left for a year, came back. You have to feel pretty fortunate to be able to coach Division I football, not only where you played, but pretty close to where you grew up.
Yeah, it's been a very, very, very unique privilege to have my career, whatever way it's turned, stay in New Jersey, in particular be Princeton-centric. I think everyone grows up first, before they play, before they coach, they start as a fan, right? That very unique attachment you have to an institution that like feels really embedded in your soul. I certainly grew up a huge Notre Dame football fan. Both my parents went there, and stuff like that is very hard to leave. But the reason I'm talking about that is because I was such a Princeton fan while playing here. I was a Princeton fan during my year abroad. And then to get the chance to come back here, most coaches don't get the opportunity, I think, to coach at a place, especially for an extended period of time, where they have such unbelievably unshakable beliefs in like the mission statement of the whole school and of the football program. So I feel very, very, very fortunate to be a part of that. And then because Princeton is in New Jersey, the amount of time I get to spend around my family and integrate my family, my wife, my parents, my brother, my in-laws, to get them around these games and to get, be able to spend more time with them during the season, outside of the season. Even now, I'm starting to recruit New England this year, and my in-laws are from Maine, so I'll get to bump into them on the road a little more. Being East Coast-centric has certainly been a privilege for me and my family, and then being at Princeton is a dream come true. If you had told me in 2015 when I was the spring of 2015 when I was sitting in my chair at my law firm and really not enjoying work, if you had told me that it would work out like this and I'd get a chance to be where I am today coaching guys like I get to coach, I would have told you you were out of your mind, and it's really exciting.
Mike, it's been fun. Good
Thanks,
talking
coach.
To you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Princeton tight end coach Mike Willis will wrap it up, and Bob Cerace rejoins us when we get back. This is the Bob Cerace Show, live from the Alchemist and Barrister here on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time to talk Princeton football, live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Cerace Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Cerace, on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back here to wrap it up before this Week 5 matchup. The Princeton Tigers back at home taking on the Brown Bears. Cody Cruchel, Bob Cerace with you. And coach, with Brown 1-3, that one win, though, 35-7. They hung tough in their Ivy opener against Harvard. And you look at it, this is a young team, and you figure they would be trending up as the season goes along. This is a tough Week 5 matchup.
Yeah, no, they, you know, anybody that's been here for a while like you knows the respect I have for Phil Estes. When I got the job, I was able to hire James Perry, great Brown quarterback, and coached at Brown. And one of the hidden benefits of hiring a guy as good as James was I also got to find out what Brown was doing, how they built their program. Because when I watched, and when I got the job, I watched every game from that season, from every Ivy League team. I said, I want us to look like Brown. Tough, smart, disciplined, all those things. I wanted to have a team that was creative offensively and physical defensively, and that's what we wanted to look like. And Phil's been doing this a long time, and you do it a long time, you have some ups and downs, but the team he has right now, a good mix of seniors and young guys, it is a fun offense, and it looks like a lot of things we do, and they do them extremely well. They got speed at receiver in Prawl, they got the big tight end in Casey, the quarterback McGovern, he's the it factor, man. He's the guy that you have no doubt he's the leader in what he's doing. And defensively, when you get into the Buddy Ryan 46 and all the different things they do out of that, it is an aggressive, in-your-face team. So, you know, our guys understand that, and our guys respect the heck out of Brown, and they respect, you know, everything out of this game, that we are going to be prepared. If things don't go well, it's not because they didn't work hard and weren't prepared. It's because credit Brown and the job that those guys do.
You know, you talked about the defense, and really it is a different look that Brown gives really than anybody else you play, and it's year after year.
Yeah, and, you know, they're really just – they ran this somewhat at times last year, but they didn't, you know, hang their hat on the 46 and the whatever they want to call it. But a guy on the center, two guys in the B-gap that are big guys, and then edge setters on the end. And if you're in a big guy set, they got two inside backers. They are in your face, and it's like when you watch them run to the ball and how physical they are, you admire what they do.
Just talked to Mike Willis. He played for you. He kind of talked about the recruiting process and that short pitch when you guys came in. And, you know, you bring him back a couple of years ago, and he's one of the youngest position coaches in the country. Talking to him, you can tell why.
Yeah, no, I you know, today was a fun day. I just said that, to have, you know, one of my first recruits here in Mike Willis, and then having two of the glue guys, you know, on the show. It's a lot of fun. The people don't get to know them. And Mike, he was a target. I mean, it was down to us and a couple other schools. We didn't have a head coach for a while. I get the job. He's one of those first call guys, you know, trying to convince him to meet with me and allow us, you know, allow me to tell him what we're going to do, what Princeton football is going to look like. And to the credit of those guys who won a championship their senior year, they trusted and they believed. And I hope we owned up to everything that we did. He's back here coaching. So I think there's a trust level there. But, man, that group of guys, they're all getting married. Like, he just got married this summer. And I know you're going to weddings and everything else. You know, you're at that age where they're all getting married. And when one of them gets married, they're all there. And when I went to that wedding, I'm like, every one of these guys was in my first recruiting class. And I literally got chills because I remember the first conversations. I remember meeting the parents. I remember, you know, them coming to campus and trying to make sure they understood this was going to be authentic and to believe in what we're doing and what this program is going to look like.
He's from Rutherford. You're a New Jersey native. You look up and down this roster, and guys like Dylan Classy, Mark Fassati, three of the four Johnsons, Charlie Volker, Kurt Haluba. I know you're recruiting nationally at an Ivy League school, but do you take a little bit extra pride in keeping some of the good guys from New Jersey in state?
Yeah, well, obviously you get to spend more time with them. So when there's a guy that we really want and really feel that fits our culture, that's in state, we get to spend more time with them. So when they don't choose us, we must have done something wrong because we've gotten to spend the time with them. We've gotten to know them. When we're recruiting a kid from Canada or Hawaii, you don't get to go there every week. Like the message, you know, there's technology now. You DM them, you text them, you talk to them on the phone. There's nothing like face-to-face. And when you get those opportunities to spend that time, then it becomes you build a relationship. And then that relationship becomes, years later, Mike Willis is working for me and just a great assistant, trusted guy. You know, Graham and Cody and those guys will say how hard he works. And every day I thank the heavens that he's on our side.
Coach Brown this weekend, good luck, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Cody.
Thanks for another fun Thursday night.
No, thank you.
That's Princeton head coach Bob Sorace. This is the Bob Sorace Show. Thanks to David Fenster, making sure we got on the air back in our Fox Sports 920 studio. For Bob Sorace, Mike Willis, Graham Adamitis, and Cody Smith, my name is Cody Cruchel, saying so long from the Alchemist and Barrister. 1 o'clock this Saturday, Ivy League matchup, 4-0 Princeton taking on the Brown Bears. Visit GoPrincetonTigers.com for broadcast information. That'll do it here for the Bob Sorace Show, live from the Alchemist and Barrister. We'll talk to you next Thursday.